G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by nobody today, so let's just get straight into the good or great version. If you haven't subscribed, please do that, leave a rating, leave a review, and let's get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellis and Ryan Daniels. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Not a lot. I just noticed the name badge you've got on, your access badge. A lot of hair in there.
Yeah, I know. I noticed the same thing. I noticed the exact same thing. What do you got, Year 12 school photo on it?
Yeah, mate, well, I had hair when I started here.
What about two? Also, you run the joint. Yeah. I think you're probably second highest in the whole building.
No, I don't know. No, so that's not accurate.
But we are sitting in the biggest piece of shit thing I've ever seen. It is a disgrace.
I'm telling you, I don't run the podcast studio.
The trailer park.
So we shifted it back today.
Please don't even use the word studio. It's not even a studio. It's an absolute dump.
Had a better desk today, but we shifted it back. Absolute
dump. I'll come out of here with coronavirus. I'm telling you, it's an absolute dump.
This is where it started, you know. It wasn't the wet markets. It was
right in here. With the fake wall.
But yeah, there's no probably coincidence that see made all this and talking about podcast studios and try to get into it. It's no wonder I lost my hair. It's all very stressful.
Have you had any requests to take a new photo? There's like HR.
No, I've got a new photo.
Oh, even better.
I've had this pass for so long that I look considerably younger and happier.
Mate, you hang on to that as long as you need to. All right. Whatever it takes.
It's all gone, mate. It's all gone. All right. So we decided to mix it up this week. Last couple of weeks we're doing good or great, where we all knew ahead of time the name and we had to go with it. We're now starting to, everyone will just throw one out.
An ambush,
good or great. So we haven't even spoken about who's going to go first.
No.
I reckon the boss.
Yeah. And we get, so we're just one pod per player, right? Then we move
one
on.
One pod per player, and then we'll release them sort of as a, one episode each.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll throw it out then. So good or great, and I'm not sure if this one's going to go really quickly or not.
He's not going to say Michael Voss.
Mate, this could go anywhere. It'll either be like Lee Carousella or like Lee Matthews. There's nothing in between.
Speaking of that, I did watch, I think Fox Footy did the 89 grand final recall, which I probably would have preferred just the normal audio, to be honest with you.
Yeah, true.
But I did notice Dwayne Russell, who if a bloke kicks a very ordinary goal or just your standard old goal, prone to saying that's as good as it gets.
Baby.
So he did a recall of the 1989 grand final, one of the best games of all time, and not once did he say that's as good as it gets.
He missed it. He missed his opportunity there.
Triple M did it as well, the 89 grand final again, and that was the one, like obviously Billy Brownless is in Triple M's box. And he bunny chopped Bucanara.
He tried
to take out Bucanara. It was the funniest thing. Listening to those guys recall the 89 is an absolute pisser. Just nailing Billy.
It sounds fantastic.
All right. Well, getting onto it now. So this guy came up last week. We did a thing on him in the paper, and it made me wonder about where he sits in the national landscape rather than, I know where he sits in the West Australian landscape, but from a more national view, I wonder exactly where it is. And that's Peter Bell.
Okay.
I don't mind that.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's landed here. He's landed well.
He's stuck there.
But now you've got to have some information on him because what would you, should we nominate what we're going to
say? Straight out with your gut feel.
Okay.
Great.
Good, but with one of the greatest grand final performances in there.
Yeah, see, I land on, as a player, good, top end good, but given his story and the performance on grand final day and things like that, I think it probably tips him over. But it's on pure, because if we're going back to how I looked at Trent Cotchin, we got him in the end.
That stuff needs to be broken in.
I think I feel like the same about Peter Bell. Good in terms of playing ability and everything, bring the whole package together and he's a great.
Okay.
All right, so let's get stuck into it. We'll keep the same sort of, we'll go back and forth on the same topic.
Yeah, he feels like he's sitting on the fence.
Yeah, I'll say great.
Yeah, great.
I'm only a shade.
I'm taking the whole.
Yeah,
I could be swung back.
I'm a shade under, so I could tip over. Yeah, the beer at the moment is sitting right on top, and nothing's gone over yet for the perfect pour. So I'm just good at the moment.
You're down to the last bit, and someone asks you. It's about home time, and someone asks if you want another one.
Yes. I tell you what is great about Belly. was the person who sat on the sideline at Subiaco with an actual bell and rang it every time Belly got a possession. That was cool.
That's going to come into the equation here.
Well, yeah,
but it's crowd love.
Crowd love, cult follow.
All right, so achievements. His stat line, great. Two premierships, 96, 98. Two times All-Australian, 99, 2003. So if anything, that's where he loses out a bit. 98. Yeah, no, 99. Yeah.
So. How many, what was the other stuff after that?
Two All-Australians.
Two AAs.
So 99 with Kangas, 2003 with the Dockers.
Yep.
One North Melbourne best and fairest, and three at Fremantle, so that's four all up. Inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame. Was it last year or the year before? Recently.
Yeah, recently.
286 games, 250 goals, averaged 22.8 disposals across those almost 300 games.
Far out.
Four clearances, three inside 50s. And, yeah, we go to his 99 grand final. Probably joins X in the Rob Club with... he had a little bit better day than you.
Mate.
31.
They showed the 08 grand final the other day, and I jokingly, I don't say, Hodgie was the Norm Smith medalist. Stop getting in my Twitter feed, people, saying shit to me, because I don't believe it. Go, sorry.
31 disposals and four goals in 1999 grand final. It's win incredible. For the Kangas.
What if we, just on that, what about Len Smith, Norm's brother? What if, like, if you were, like, in your situation, X, or Peter Bell's, you get the Len Smith medal. Well, so maybe, you know, you weren't judged best on ground, but then afterwards, maybe a year later, there's a public opinion swarm where everyone goes, you know, this player was robbed.
No,
yeah. And then they get the Len Smith medal, which is like, you know.
Every year, though, just go through it. Who would you say was robbed from a Norm Smith?
Well, we'd need to sit down and work that out.
But every year,
there's at least one.
Yeah, I just think of Dusty Martin. And like Bashahuli.
Bashahuli was robbed.
I can't take Pickett as being robbed. Yeah, 22 disposals.
Yeah, but you don't need to award a Len.
No.
It's only if after, maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 3 years.
Tom Boyd, I think he won that game.
In hindsight, Tom Hawkins, one of the guys.
In that 2011 grand final.
Yeah, 2011.
Incredible.
Yep.
If you go back to see what he did in that game.
Yeah, turn the game.
It's something like 8 or 9 contested marks.
Because Pods went down in the first like 10 shoulder. Minutes, didn't he?
Yeah.
Dean Cox in 06. Very unlucky. Very good grand final.
Who won at 06?
Embers.
If you go back to the famous one, Michael Voss should probably get it over Nathan Buckley.
Definitely.
That changed the voting system because they had to lodge their votes at just after three-quarter time.
Yeah.
And then Voss had a quarter.
Did you know the Norm Smith?
Which might be important, the last quarter of a grand final close.
Yeah, you feel
like that might have an influence on the game.
Yeah. Did you know the Norm Smith, they get told they've won the Norm Smith straight after the game?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So they know when the announcement comes?
Yeah, which is shocking.
Why do they do that?
No idea. It's shocking.
That sucks.
Yeah, so like surely the thrill is you sit there.
I wish you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, no, it sucks. So Shuey got told. They ran over and said, you've won the Norm Smith. Three things or something. Like, don't forget the sponsors.
Of course, you would have to know the sponsors.
No, but bugger the sponsors. It's your moment.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to see who the sponsors are? Look at my jumper.
Well, everybody mentions the sponsors. At least one person can miss them.
Yes. No, so there you go. They get told.
Look at the guy announcing it to say... thank you for the sponsors, blah, 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 blah.
It's like finding out Santa's not true, that. I was shattered.
Before Christmas.
I was shattered that now this player is not like the raw emotion of finding out you're the Norm Smith medalist as your name's read out.
I'm bummed by that.
Yeah.
That's really...
So there you go. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
No,
We've gone on a tangent.
We've gone on a real tangent.
Now I'm trying to think about who was the robbed medalist in every grand final. Will Schofield? So that's his achievement. So on the basis of that, that ticks on the great, doesn't it?
There's a lot of achievements on the list.
Okay.
You know what jumped out to me? Two things. One, BNFs at two different clubs.
Yep.
Yeah,
and all Australians at two different clubs.
Yep.
And the 250 goals leapt out at me too. He was a really dangerous... Actually, I got a little bit of a personal story there. So we had our AFL 9s, a media team that we played for years, and you played a few games, Nick.
I did.
And one night, we'd been... Because Belly was working for ABC at the time.
Yeah.
And... one of the guys down there, no, he's working for 6PR, Nick, and he's like, I reckon I can get Belly one week. And never, ever is Peter Bell turning up. One night, desperate for players, Peter Bell's coming down.
There you go.
And he reckons he hadn't touched a footy in 6 years.
Yeah.
He would have had 45 and kicked 6.
No,
it was
incredible.
Unbelievable. It was the clinic, and there was a very low bar of talent surrounding him. But it was like watching someone play a whole different sport.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, whoa, like the twitch fibers and just knowing where that ball was going and the way he turned it on. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. He was on the board at Freo before becoming footy manager.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so about 2016 might have been. We were at Sherrod Wellingham's place in Claremont having a drink at like the Monday after we'd finished or the Tuesday or whatever. And Bally just rocked over. So he must live in there and bought a couple of bottles of wine and sat down and had drinks with us. Yeah. Hey, Ripper. And I think he'd been at lunch or something, potentially.
Yeah.
He had a bit of a fill in him, and we all had a bit of a fill in us, and yeah, it was a good night.
Kick on. Oh, good.
Very good stats, Bally. And look, don't get me wrong, I think the all round package is incredible because he's obviously a lawyer.
Yes.
I think he's a lawyer. Law degree.
Law degree.
Business stuff going on.
Business. Ran the ABC, the breakfast.
Yeah, had a show.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be reasonably. It was a 6 PR, was it?
Well, no, both.
ABC. Both. So you got to be reasonably intelligent, or very intelligent.
You're on radio for about 3 hours on your own, essentially. Yeah.
I was in the 6 PR at Gareth Parker just to try and get in my head what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
He's like my hour and a half where, so to do that, like, people genuinely tune in to try and
you can't
educate themselves on what the bloody hell's going on.
Correct.
So he's all round package. But three B and F's at Fremantle. What years?
At Fremantle, it was, did I get that? Oh, so probably went 2000. He probably won it in 2000.
When they came into the league?
Won it in 2000. No. He played only, I think, 2 games. So, okay. I mean, he was in that first season.
Yeah.
He was one of the first players signed, and then he got cut at the end of the year because he was too small, too slow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he bobbed
then he
up
back.
At North Melbourne.
And then bobbed back.
Yep. And then, came back the year after winning a Best of Fairness.
On a massive contract. They paid for it. They paid for their mistake. His BNFs were in 01, 03, and 04.
01, 03, 04. Okay. 01, where'd they finish? 03, where'd they finish? 04, where'd they finish?
One of those years they were okay,
03,
I think.
03, I think that was they made finals.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Off the top of my head.
I would say he was just the best player.
One of those.
In that.
But we've had that discussion too where, like, being the best player in a bad team can be harder sometimes.
Yeah, I know, but like Jack Stephen won four or five.
But does winning one in a premiership year at North Melbourne...
Yes, well, that probably balances it out.
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. We're not arguing that he didn't deserve them.
So, Freo were in 01, they were 16th.
Yeah.
In 03, they were 7th. And in 04, they were 9th.
Okay.
And he was captain for 5 straight years as well.
It's a good resume.
It is a brilliant resume.
So, achievements, that's great, isn't it? I mean, you make the Hall of Fame.
Also, won a waffle BNF.
94. Yeah, and a flag.
South Fremantle.
Year after he pulled a pin on the AFL, he went and won a waffle flag.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Playing where?
South Fremantle. Jeff Farmer went too.
The Whiz.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to argue with that. Like, the two club thing is a big deal. The goals jumps off. Like,
goal a game.
It's almost a goal a game. He was dangerous. I remember, he was just one of those players that around goals, he was super crafty. Like, he could have spent his whole career as a small forward and probably kicked 50 to 60 a year just because
he's
opportunist.
Have you got on the sheet there what goals he kicked?
I could find out pretty
club.
Easily.
Yeah. Because I wonder, North Melbourne.
He probably kicked a few more in North Melbourne.
North Melbourne because their midfield was... Oh, but he was probably... Freo, he was like the general in there, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, Fremantle, he had to... Yeah.
He had to carry
the load.
He
had to do everything for a
while. His biggest numbers goal-wise, he had 32 in a season at North... At 24, 23, 24, all at North. So at Fremantle, he wasn't as big of a goal kicker, although he did have a year where he kicked 28.
Yeah.
He had 3 years, 20 plus.
Well,
it was about the same.
Anything over 20, yeah.
It's about the same, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years over 20 goals for a midfielder.
I'm going to go with...
That's pretty great.
That's very good.
So the resume is great?
Resume ticks are great. So ability... Yeah.
Well, this is what? This is getting the most out of your ability?
No, that comes later.
Or just ability to turn a game.
Ability against everyone else, all the greats of the game, like if he's up to their level.
Okay, so Peter Bell in that era, if he was standing next to Voss.
Voss wins.
Heard.
Heard.
Yeah, Buckley.
Yeah, so he's not he was good ability-wise, I think.
Rusciutto. Yeah, I'd say good. With these guys, with these guys we're arguing about obvious great games in there, like the grand final we spoke about.
I suppose for me, he sits more in that Boomer Harvey type, like small quick forward that played a lot of midfield time. Like, so then Boomer wouldn't put in that class either.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Boomer in there.
Like the Voss Buckley Hurd, that group is like
he's on the top.
You're looking
of the
at the top.
Yeah, well,
Simo
played 300 odd games, and he's down from that.
Yeah,
like, but that was that era where there was just you go through nearly every team had one of those players that would get you to watch. You'd be like, they are great players. Yeah. I don't have Bally in that in terms of
there was another bloke in his team that was pretty good.
Who?
Wayne Carey.
Oh no, sorry, I'm talking Freo.
Freo. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can only be as what you can be though. Like if you're in a team that's winning flags and you're winning a BNF and almost pinching incredible. A norm, you're getting a Len Smith medal.
And then
you go to Freo and although they were bad, he stood up.
Yeah.
Like he played well. So what else can you do? I mean, what else could we have seen from Peter Bell? You're just saying pound for pound, if you're picking teams in the schoolyard, you're probably not picking Peter Bell.
Yeah. I reckon he got the absolute most out of himself.
Yes.
Absolute most.
I agree with that.
But I don't reckon he had that extra
five to
10%.
So he gets a good under ability. But we might swing up the next two because this folds into output versus talent. Output versus talent. Oh. Great, because he made the most of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zero doubt.
Can you, I don't know his background too well. He's
adopted
Asian.
Yeah, he's Korean. Yeah, Korean adopted by a couple from Kojin up in the country.
Yeah, I mean, what you're starting a little away.
Oh yeah, you're starting handicapped.
Have we got any?
For sure.
Has there been a Korean
footballer
in the AFL?
No, he's captain of the Korean national team.
Yeah.
And he will be till he's 90.
When you pull this whole story in, I think that's what part of it makes
it's incredible. The whole story is incredible.
The chances of Peter Bell ending up even where he is
now, an AFL footballer, let alone
is ridiculous.
Yes.
Like to go from being in a completely foreign country, being
so
adopted.
So was he in Australia when he was adopted, or was he in Korea when he was adopted?
A couple of missionaries who were over there doing some work, and they adopted him. That's the famous Dennis Pagan line. He sent a runner out to tell him something on the G at some point in the late 90s, and the runner came back and he's like, "What?" He said, "I couldn't find him." And he said, "Two missionaries found him on the side of the road in South Korea. You can't find him on the MCG."
That is good.
But I must admit, when you did know that the runner was coming for you, you could find hiding places like no one else.
Suddenly very evasive. No, but just on that pure story arc, and then also being the first player or second player, one of the first couple of players signed by Fremantle to get delisted.
And then
a second chance. And not just on any team. He was going to a team that had Wayne Carey in it that was contending year after year. There's every chance that he goes over there and just can't get a game. But he does. And he somehow squeezes his way into that team and becomes one of their best players. And then comes back to Fremantle, gets the last laugh after getting delisted, gets paid probably 25 times what he was getting paid the first year.
Yeah. And also that leads them in an era where they became like
semi-relevant.
More of a relevant team. Yeah. Even finals for the first time.
Even had the audacity to say, I'll play one more year, but I'm going to live in Geraldton.
That's right. They were flying down.
Yeah, first ever FIFO AFL player too.
And then to retire, you have a very... like successful media career in a short period of time at two different substantial radio stations.
But that's the noggin. Yeah, he's got a big brain.
Have a bunch of businesses. And then, meanwhile, he's done a law degree this entire time.
Yep.
And now he's running the football department.
Yeah, then he goes back
club.
And basically runs.
There might not be a more unique story in the AFL.
No.
So it's a movie sort of situation, isn't it?
Yeah. It could be a movie made about Billy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I agree. Yeah. Very good.
So that's I can't remember which one we were talking about. Ability, that was output versus talent.
That's great.
So it's a tick for the great box there. So reputation's the interesting one because like we do record this in Perth.
Yeah.
In Perth, he's right at the top of the tree in terms of reputation.
But I wonder whether his story is as well known. I didn't. I was in the East Coast, but Freo, captain, the media outlets over here try and balance. So West Coast were the dominant, the big brother.
Yeah.
And when Freo were into the league and battling, he would have been rolled out as often as any player possibly in front of the media and you know, eyes on him the whole time.
Yeah.
But over East, he left North Melbourne and he's going to his prime. So you missed it, really. Like, you saw him as a young lad and then you've missed his prime. So I think I'd probably have a different opinion because I didn't see him at Fremantle.
From the Western Australian almost in Fremantle. Yeah, that's true. Well, I suppose the reputation thing we talked about just before we went on air about the bloke in the crowd.
With the bell.
Ringing the bell.
Yeah.
That's got to matter, right?
So yeah, I know, but like...
Every single time he touched the ball...
She rang the bell.
She rang the bell.
Yeah, I know, but like if... I reckon there could be 100 players in the competition if their last name was Bell and they were good.
Ringing the bell.
Joe, if they were a good player...
Isn't there one there that bloke plays for Sydney?
Oh, Tom Bell? No.
No, that's Carlton. There's a kid named... Someone playing... Anyway, I don't think he's getting his bell rung.
Yeah, he's not yet.
Not yet.
But there'll be someone who buys in early. They'll invest... The stocks are low, and then they'll be like, "What about that guy that waved that bloody bell for 10 years at the SCG?"
He's got a super strong reputation as a professional,
as an all class, as class. Yeah.
The dumbest thing he ever did was I can't remember the game, but they'd copped a shellacking room over east, and he's come back, and the cameras were all at the airport. You know, the whole guys have been smashed shot, and I think he was captain at the time, or at least very senior. Mm. And he's gone with the whole put the magazine over the face, avoid the cameras. And it didn't just go for a couple of seconds. He was waiting for his luggage, so he's doing it like the entire time.
The thing is, he probably was reading it too. Oh, it's intelligent.
It's quite comical. We do the test that training for their young media guys.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So we now when we go there, That's we the take vision. That clip and show him, and everyone gets a good laugh out of it because he ended up being in the media.
Well, another one is like Kevin Peterson, where his headphones weren't plugged.
That's right.
I can't hear you.
He did that to me a couple of times. Yeah. KP outside the Wacker a couple of times to try to get him headphones always on.
He was really rude one day to Hodgie and me.
Oh, really?
We went to the hotel to get some stuff from the Poms. We had a night on the piss with Alistair Cook.
Yeah.
And he rang the next morning and said he's got some gear for us. So we rolled around there. Mate, Hodgie's the king of Melbourne.
To be clear, cricket gear.
Cricket gear. Yep. Cricket gear. Alistair Cook's another story, like Bally. Extremely intelligent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, extremely. Anyway, Hodgie, and I'm like, get in there, Hodgie, get in there. I used to say, hide behind him and try and hold on to his little coattails all the time. And Kevin Peterson just like scoffed him and walked over him. I sort of brushed him. And I was like, whoa, there you go.
He's definitely a knob.
Yeah. Okay. I think reputation, good. Okay. In terms of, good.
National stage reputation.
Yeah.
So... That's the last category, right?
But
last,
if we're doing this,
so I'm asking you, this is the obvious one. I wrote a column about it last week. How much is he getting hurt by the not being? Let's say he played his whole career at North, and North's not a big club, but let's say he stays there for
name one underneath Wayne Carey.
Well,
that's great.
It's Boomer.
They never broke through into the spotlight. No, great.
But so let's say, instead of going to Fremantle, he goes to Collingwood. Like, are we talking about Peter Bell in a different way? Those stats.
I still reckon he's that whisker off that era of midfielders who were so dominant.
Yeah.
I'd love to run some names, like, who's compare him to.
Peter
like,
Bell category.
Who is he better than? Like, you say Fremantle is going to be, like, the best, one of the best. He's not better than Pavel Fife, right?
No.
So is he third?
He's in top five.
Is it McFarlane better?
Nah.
No?
No.
Mundy?
Mundy better player.
Walters by the time he's done?
So I'd say he's about the Mundy.
He's in that three level. To six range of Dockers. Of,
yeah, he's in top five. He's comfortably
but with short history. Okay. Short history without success.
It'd be hard to break in.
I think it all counts going back in, like, now trying to steer the club and that kind of thing.
I'm not giving him any points for that.
But I think in terms of how, like, as Fremantle supporters would view him long term, depends if he gets it right.
If this was just a WA podcast on WA football, he'd be great.
Yeah.
But I think when you get the full spread of the whole country in that era, I just think he was 5% off.
It takes a lot to cut through, like, Fife's cut through.
Yes.
Everyone on the East Coast would agree that he's a top three player. Like, maybe top five, depending if they hate him. But there's no doubt. Like, whereas Bell would have just been, Peter Bell.
Peter Bell.
You know, like, it takes a heap to cut through.
It does.
Djakovic did it.
And I was on the East Coast. Mm. Yeah. So I'm in the bit where didn't cut through probably as much.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, do we revote now?
Yeah, do it.
I'm still great. Like, the BNF's at two clubs. The All-Australian at two clubs, the goals, as I said, jumped off at me. The fact that he has this incredible story, the odds of him getting there just weren't going to happen. For me, it's great. Like, it's a shade over great, but even the big game, the Len Smith performance, he deserves a nod for that too. Like, I really think it's going to be a thing. I'm sticking with great.
Yeah, I'm sticking with great. I wasn't swayed. I understand the argument, but it hasn't swayed me. I think he's great.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with good. The story's great. The person's great.
Yep.
I just think in that era, he's just not in the category of the, and we were probably blessed in that time that the Voss, Buckley, Hurd, Prosciutto.
So we did Cochin, right? And we got all to great on him.
Yeah.
Because of the story.
The premiership captain.
Okay. But who's a better player?
Bell's a better player.
Probably close. Mm. Bell, don't forget Cochin won a Brownlow.
Yeah. Asterisk Brownlow.
He won a Brownlow, mate.
He
was given a Brownlow.
he was awarded the best player in the competition that year.
Yeah.
By the coaches.
Yeah.
Come on, boys. Come on in, you come. Very, 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 very good, but I don't think he tips into the great category.
Rough.
But as a story and a person, great.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
A good bloke qualifier.
Yeah,
you cocksmax. You stuck on great because you're too scared to change your vote.
No, I genuinely think he
Peter Bell's a very powerful man in this state.
No, but bloody great.
It's a shade. It's a shade.
It's just a shade under for me.
Yeah.
Like we're splitting hairs.
These shades are great. Yeah. All right.
They can't all be great.
If you got any other ideas, let us know on Instagram and Twitter at HardballGetsAFL or leave a rating or a review on the podcast too. If you haven't subscribed, do that as well. All right. It's been the Hardball Gets AFL show. We'll see you next time.